Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for continued coverage of The Challenge Season 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies, and The Challenge All-Stars 2, coming off the back of a great episode of at least the podcast, getting to catch up with Brian Cohen last week as a fun crossover episode. But this week, it is just myself, Matt, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
I'm good, though you were right on the format of the eliminations for season 37, so a little less good than I was hoping to be coming in after this. Excited to talk about it, but yeah, you can sense where I'm at with the first episode, at least.
I really was surprised that you thought it was going to be some kind of, like, you know, like Drag Race lip sync for your life. Like, I just didn't see the time for that.
I just wanted the full episode of eliminations, back to back to back, let's go. But no, I got my hopes up. Yeah, I really felt like it was made into this, like it was going to be this big spectacle, and then kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah, it was just, you know, they once we get to this part of the season, right before the final, like, you never can really predict exactly what they're going to do to get rid of that last extra person that, like, they want to save as many people to the end as possible, especially, you know, they need that kind of padding, I guess, in case there's like a last minute something happens, like you have that extra fifth or sixth person or whatever towards the end. But you know, here we are, and it's like, all right, we're going to the final, not enough room for 10 people, we got to get it down to 8. Let's just throw in some quick easy eliminations with what looked like just some backup eliminations that they had in the can of just like, oh well, we haven't used this one yet, this is like saved for a rainy day, let's do these. And you know, here we are. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I would have preferred had they even just made the last 2 weeks like men's and women's elimination weeks. Like, you can get the same number of people out of there. Seems a little bit maybe like more fair, which is not even like my main concern, but also like better TV. You know, those two are both things that I'm looking for. So I would like that ideally, but you know, what we got was what we got. And yeah. It was fine.
Yeah, I really think it's just what I was saying earlier. Just like, I feel like they want to make sure they have the exact number of people at the final that they are supposed to have. So say like some freak thing happened on like the day before, like say like they sent home two men one day, and then, you know, 2 days later something happened, and then what are they going to fly one of them back in for the final? Like, you know, it's a little, I don't know, whatever.
Well, we did. I'm thinking more of like Invasion of the Champs style, where it was like, all right, there's this number of people competing in this challenge, one person gains safety, and then we go down and down and down until it's just like single elimination. That I would have been good with, whether it was a tournament style, like something like that. So they've done it before. I think that maybe if they're looking to do something like this again, that's a better format, make it a full episode, it's more exciting, but whatever.
It's impressive that the challenge gets away with like the way that they change the format the way that they do, especially when like you counter it with a show like Survivor that, like, you know, tries all these different things, and everyone, like, the second that they do anything, it's like, you idiots, what's wrong with you? But like, the challenge can do literally anything, and we'll sit here and be like, oh yeah, this wasn't our favorite, this was good, this was bad. But they definitely don't get, you know, anywhere near the criticism.
I mean, I would say that is, I'll still be here saying, like, you idiots, what's wrong with you? How could you not have seen that, like, the skulls were going to make it so that people were volunteering for elimination, or that, like, these vets were going to align, like, yada, yada. There's many things that I will criticize them for, how this format would benefit the vets, whatever. But the challenge has just never been like as pure of a strategic game. So I'm also not like, oh no, this like could have been messed with or was not as fair, because like it's never as fair on the challenge. So like, it's fine. It is. I look at it more as a season long game show than a like reality competition. Like I do some others.
And this show is probably, a challenge is probably in the clear until they add in, you know, a fire making at the final, whatever. So
would fight against.
Until then, I think they'll be fine and we'll figure it all out. But yeah, let's talk about the Night of Eliminations here, or as the episode was called, the Night of Mistakes. Tori was talking about this on her podcast with Anissa. They had TJ on as their guest this week, which was, it's always fun to hear from TJ, especially like in podcast form, because he's such an interesting podcast guest. It's like, it's not that he doesn't want to be there, but it's like, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Like, how do you interact with the people that are your contestants on, like, on the show? It's such a weird dynamic. And like, he tries to be friendly and, you know, as best as he can. And it's an enjoyable listen, but it's still just, you know, interesting dynamic. Did you check it out?
I did. It's a fun one, but I agree where it's like, so TJ, who do you think's the biggest liar in this episode? He's like, I don't know. I didn't watch it. I don't know what's going on. He's like, oh, I feel like some people like maybe fought this season, but I don't know. It's like, okay, sure.
Yeah,
Like,
they're
that's
getting
fine.
like information out of him of just like, you know, as much as like they can, or as much as they're like, you know, they want to like play around with him a little bit, but at the end of the day, they're really not going to get a whole lot out of him that like any other contestant that they have on. Like, you'll get, you know, back and forth. TJ's just like, yeah, no, it was cold that day, and I'm glad we got two good eliminations. It was good. It's like, okay, cool. But the Night of Mistakes is what I was saying was that Tori called it that because I guess they all just, you know, between Logan picking Emmanuel, like, which of course feels like forever ago, but it was, you know, right before this all happened, was a mistake for him. Emmanuel made a mistake by picking Devin in the next elimination, which he didn't know was going to be a puzzle, blah, 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 blah. And then Amanda picking Tori was, you know, not great for her. So overall, night of mistakes all around.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I was going to wait for a little longer, but you know, these are mistakes as far as the challenges that were brought out for them. But do you think there is any world in which these challenges were brought out basically because of the matchups that they saw for coming, that had they thought other people would be ending up in elimination, they may have switched them around so that the women were doing the puzzle and the men were doing physical if they thought that would benefit the show?
I mean, certainly we could, you know, think that, want to think that, not want to think that, whatever it is. I'm gonna say at the end of the day, I don't think they changed anything around. It's just so much of an opera. Like, I get that it's so easy to like convince yourself that that could be a possibility because we didn't see the eliminations, they didn't see the eliminations. But I have to imagine that, like, you know. I mean, but I was gonna say, like, you have to imagine that as soon as they have the two people ready to go, Amanda and Tori get down there, that the person that's bringing out the elimination itself is ready to go and immediately starts bringing the elimination out. Whatever's in their hands is coming out with them. But I guess you could also, you know, theorize, you know, tinfoil hat and say, well, maybe there was two people standing there with the elimination and one person came out the other. So I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's just I try to drive myself not insane and assume that it was just what it was.
I am kind of the mind of like could be, couldn't be. I'm never gonna know. I know that even some people on the show themselves think that it may have been the case where they would have switched it around had other outcomes had like other factors not been involved. But like it's again, we're never gonna know.
Right. So the eliminations that we do end up seeing, one of them is your classic physical. Amanda and Tori have this. We'll get to the votes and everything. One of them is, you know, a little physical. Grab the ball that drops from the drone or wherever it usually is. You know, bring it back to your spot, and whoever gets to first wins. And then the other one is just some boring puzzles, but it gets the job done. But we do need to start at the top where we're going to see that TJ tells them the cells are now disbanded. And, you know, this whole game, you have been voting individually, and we're back to an individual vote again here. Nobody's safe. The Sapphire Cell did their job last week, and, you know, all's done. So everybody get in a line, and we're going to vote for one woman and one man to go in, who are then going to call in their opponents as usual. And things get started here with the women's vote, which is going to be the beginning of the end for at least my girl, maybe our girl, Amanda.
I would say relative our girl. Like it's the type of thing with the challenge where most people on a season, especially most people at this point, I'm like, oh, there are flaws, but I like one of you more than the others. You know, Amanda is towards the, you know, top half of the list in terms of who was on the season for sure. Definitely has much higher highs than a lot of other people, but it was just like I was trying to convince myself of like editing stuff, maybe other people might be at risk, but no, there was no way that you would think Amanda was avoiding this vote.
Yeah, I think it's hard to see her avoiding the vote because of, you know, all the alliances that, as we talked about last week, Tori and Nani and Casey, you know, have been playing the game so far together. It's unlikely to see that they were going to turn on each other. So it was Amanda or Emmy. And I think, especially when you look at the guys that now have the votes, they're going to decide which of these people do I want to run the least with. And that, as Devin, you know, laid out, was Amanda. I'm sure they, much of these guys, many of these guys would be happy to run with Emmy, who has been deemed the rookie of the season, you know, 4-0 in eliminations. And also there's like an underlying factor in all of this that apparently Amanda was on her, usually you say Patreon, Instagram Live, Amanda was on her OnlyFans, which is where she just goes to, like, that's her Patreon. She, like, you know, goes there to talk to her fans. Well, for anybody who, you know, doesn't know that, because usually people think of OnlyFans for other ways, and I think that's what Fessy uses it for, but not Amanda. So she was like live on there and apparently explained that I don't have all the details, so I don't know if you have any more than I do, but basically
I actually do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I should have turned it over to you much earlier. Go ahead.
No problem at all. I was actually going to wait, because I know at one point Amanda basically, I would say, alludes to this in one of her confessionals that I wrote off pretty easily, where she's like, I don't know if they voted me down here because they hate me or they just know that I miss home. And I was like, why would they vote you down because you miss home? It is 1 week before the final. But like, it is, you were going there tomorrow. Right. But what it seems like is Amanda did talk about on her OnlyFans, I guess she went live and said that while she was gone, her son was actually staying with her friend. It was not really an available option for him to stay with the father. So she got it approved through the courts that the friend would take care of her son for 3 months. Then when they get there and there is the delay in filming due to the positive COVID cases, that it gets delayed by about 3 weeks. And so Amanda all of a sudden is finding herself in the situation where she is going to be in contempt of court if she does not get home soon. And people knowing this willingly like vote her down there when she claims that otherwise it would have been Emmy going in had that not been a situation that she was dealing with. So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know that was the filming delayed by 3 weeks and it just so happened that like those 2 extra days are the ones that were going to overlap. So if so, super unfortunate. But yeah, that is Amanda's story that is out on OnlyFans now.
Yeah. So that was basically the idea of what I, you know, had seen, but more detailed. So thank you for sharing all of that. But I was like, I knew that she had mentioned, I guess, to everybody that she needed to get home sooner than later because of the delay in filming and all that stuff. But it makes sense if there was like even more like legal stuff behind it where, you know, like you said, that her friend was, you know, in charge, is that a way to put it? Watching her child for, you know, 3 months, as was laid out, however it was laid out. I don't know how that all works, but, you know, even if it was like coming down to like a week left in, I don't want to call it a contract, but whatever it was. sorry, I don't know how this all works. That she had to get back and whatever. Okay, so Amanda's going in.
Well, I was going to say, and if people want to check it out, I know there's other things that she talks about on there, like about her status with Fessy. She accuses some people of juicing on the challenge, including some of the women on the cast, and talks about like some people who made out and stuff. So there is stuff on there that is interesting to hear about if people want to go check out Amanda's OnlyFans.
There you go. A plug for OnlyFans. That's just the way we do things. Yeah, so she ends up getting the votes and, you know, the situation here develops where she's going to obviously to pick who she wants to go in against. And so that's the confusing part here is that if she knows that, you know, she didn't seem upset when she got voted in. Maybe she did a little bit in confessional because she's great in confessional. But when she gets sent down there, she's got a smile on her face talking to TJ. Usually if it was like a blindside or anything, Amanda would turn around and be like, you know, fuck y'all fake bitches or something like that. So like she didn't do that. So she gets down there and she's going to call out the person she's been feuding with all season, which is Tori. But it was just strange to me. And I don't know if you felt the same way that like she was basically not gifting Tori an elimination, but like if she knew that she was likely planning to go home, she was gifting Tori an elimination win.
I guess so. Part of me is also now questioning, like, if they didn't know that these eliminations were coming, then what was Amanda planning on doing had the 10 of them just made the final? So I guess that's still an open-ended question for me here. But yeah, I guess she was gifting Tori an elimination win or kind of was, I don't know. I guess so. We don't really have like 100% of the story of whether she was just like worried that the date was coming up closer and didn't know the exact end date of filming, or if it was like factually, I need to be home in 2 days and travel time like means I need to leave now. Right. So we don't know.
And like, that's a great point, because like if the final had started, like if TJ was like, you guys are all going to the final, and they left the next day, like she would go with them. Like, what was she gonna like get to day one of the final and be like, all right, let's just make sure that I don't win anything here today. I know that, you know, you guys are all gonna be worried about that, but let me just make sure that I come in last and maybe get purged out. I don't know. So I guess just maybe the ultimate story of it all is that she had, you know, expressed to everybody that, you know, she is ready-ish to go home. She needs to get there sooner than later. And you know, when she ends up getting voted down there, I think like, I don't know. It's cause like the way that she, you know, talks about it while she's down there or in confessional, saying that like, she would have liked to have taken Tori out, but I don't know, I guess we're never really going to know like the exact truth of it all. Unless like, you know, maybe she did explain it in full detail and we still don't have all of that, but whatever. Obviously ends up losing to Tori here and is,
these are not firsthand accounts of her live.
But then it's just strange because like then you're getting Nelson, you know, narrating alongside saying like, Amanda, come on, you should have picked the rookie who's never done an elimination before in her life, because obviously he missed all four that Emmy won. She doesn't know these games. You should, why are you picking Tori? And it's like, this is just silly, Nelson. Just
And Amanda even says it in her like another confessional where she says like, I probably could beat one of my friends, but I'm not going to do that to them. Yeah. So I think very clearly Amanda's talking about Nani here, saying that like this was a better option on the table, but she just didn't feel like she could do it to her. I didn't know that Amanda and Nani were so close until a couple episodes ago when she refused to choose to go against her. But apparently that was also part of the consideration.
And Nani won an elimination against Gabby last season, which was like this exact elimination, more or less. So I don't know that it would have been like a slam dunk for Amanda there. I mean, I would feel better if I am Amanda going against Nani, who is a little bit smaller than Tori is. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know what her motivation level was. It just, it didn't seem like this was ever really going to be her elimination to win. And it's just, you know, a little funny when she's like, Nelson's my only friend in this house. He's the only one who didn't vote for me. And then Nelson's like, you idiot, Amanda, what is wrong with you? And yeah.
Well, I would say in terms of this elimination specifically, like Casey, Tori, and Emmy are probably like the top three girls of the entire cast that you don't want to go against, barring Michaela, who went out first. But like otherwise, pretty stacked. So I think Nani is just like not number four in that lineup.
Yeah.
But, you know, it probably still has a tough time there, but a much better choice for sure.
So was Tori trying to recreate her own version of a Amanda backpack here? Is that what she was going for?
Yeah, I've seen it called the Amanda purse hanging off the side of the body. But yeah, I don't know. I think that might be gendered also. Yeah. So I don't know if we want to keep going with that.
Well, Tori was happy to be playing this elimination because the last couple eliminations she's been in have not gone so well. This time she wanted to redeem herself and show that she can be a strong female in this game, as she says. And, you know, she goes ahead and takes down a woman that's, you know, half her size and, you know, glad she got her confidence back. So.
Tori so many times this episode was like, I need to stand up and prove it for like single women, and I was like, oh yes, the most depressed group, single women. Like, yeah, like if she was just like, I want to like show like young girls back home, but she was like, no, I want to show single women, and I was like, okay, sure, whatever, Tori. Like, that's fine.
Just the way that she's like, I don't know, like this a lot of like, you know, hypocritical things that she says along the way. So
I mean,
know,
it has come up in challenge, like you know, the circles many times this week, criticizing Tori for not standing up for other people, and two other you know, instances in the past where sometimes comes off a little performative. So I'm kind of rolling my eyes at, you know, when she is trying to like prove it for any group of people right now.
Yeah. She was on the you know, with her podcast with Anissa. They did the All-Stars one too this week, and they had Melinda on, and we'll get to All-Stars later on, but she made a comment to Melinda being like, you're such a strong competitor, and Melinda like kind of laughed at that because she's like, she was like, well, I'm not, you know, that strong, but thank you for saying that. And Tori was like, no, I mean it. Like you can't underestimate anyone. And I was like, Tori is going through this like life lesson she's been learning in the past couple seasons of like, you know, all of these people that she has underestimated. And then like, it comes back to bite her either by people not liking her or by people like proving. So I'm like, she's just going through something talking to Melinda here, but that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, miss everyone else are layups. Saying you can't underestimate anyone. Like,
Yeah.
Sure.
So you just like it's like on the podcast, you're just like hearing like herself like remind herself these lessons that she's like beating into her own head for future seasons. But you know, that's okay. So that is so yeah, again, Amanda loses here. We don't have to spend too much time on this, but I liked TJ's comment at the end saying honestly, like that devil act is just all bullshit. You're gonna go home, be the number one mom, and you know, we're all rooting for you, or whatever he said. So it was very nice.
Yeah, it's a nice little moment. I feel like if Amanda wants to be back, I'm assuming you're on the same page, she'll be back. But where do you think the chances are we see her anytime soon?
It's hard to say because I feel like especially following her on social media, like she had a lot of fun this go around. Like not just like on the show, but like on social media, because like she has a lot of fans, and it's got to feel good to have that kind of love and support from so many people like in your corner. So you know, while the train's going here, while people are in her corner, I don't know why. I will not. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, she's got a child at home that may, maybe she, maybe like, who knows if the time is right, whatever the deal is. You know, she's got more to think about than just the challenge. But I don't think this is the last we see of Amanda, whether it's, you know, next season, the season after. I think she's got a lot of momentum here to stay on the show.
Yeah, I think they're gonna want her back pretty
Yes.
badly, because and just like so much drama outside of the house involves Samantha. So I think that like if she wants to and is able to, then we'll be back in a second. But you know, it's really determined by her wanting to, the courts approving again, and her having a friend that is willing to watch her child for a couple months. So it is. I'm not super confident we'll be seeing Amanda back right away, but I am open to it for sure.
I was about to like completely lie to you and the entire listenership saying like this is the last week for a while that I'm going to be praising Amanda because she's gone now, but like the reunion is probably 2 weeks away, so
Yep.
that's going to be like a 90% Amanda show, I would have to imagine, because what I was going to say is Amanda's the entertainment. Like no matter who else is here, no matter who Tori and Devin fighting and this and that or whatever, Amanda is the one in this moment in time that is she like look back at like look at the All-Stars, like look at the Tinas and the people that stand out. Like last season, someone like Ysela, or just anybody who's like not afraid to like, you know, step up and stand up to anybody that is saying anything stupid or just defending themselves or whatever. Like she's not afraid to speak up about anything, and that is like perfect for this show. That's like the exact person that they want on a cast at all times. So you know, she fills a spot that like she, you know, she's like, I may not be the number one challenger. She's definitely high up there as far as like, you know, must-haves because of you need that entertainment to make your show. So, just, you know, more praise for me as I can never stop.
Agreed. I think that also a number of people seem to be taking off next season, whether by choice or by encouragement. So I am curious to see. I know that the rumors are that they are basically calling anyone and everyone for next season to get feelers. I'm very excited to see the cast starting to form.
And I maintain, as I think I said last week, worried for Amanda if she is back because her and Tori obviously are not friends at the moment, and you know, I'm just hoping that she has either more numbers than Tori or the same amount, or
Not
like
confident that that's going to be the case, but I also don't think Tori's going to have like an overwhelming number either.
and yeah, I feel like if there's anyone that it's like easy to turn the tide against, it's Ben Tori. You know, the season I guess being
She
the
does
exception.
most of the work herself.
So yeah, there. So we'll see. All right. So that's good on Amanda for now, but we have a guy's elimination to get to here, where we kick off with Tori voting for Nelson, which, you know, is going to cause some drama as we get into it. And it's going to end up being Emmanuel who gets the votes, but he doesn't get as many votes as Amanda got the first time around, because a couple other votes went around. Casey had a tough decision here, but it is going to be Emmanuel going in.
Yeah, I think it's him, you know, Emmanuel, Tori, and Emmy who vote for other
Yes.
people besides him. But I think that, I mean, just like him voting Devin was a mistake. Like, should have jumped on the Nelson train as soon as one vote's there. Like, don't start spreading them because you're already in danger. But yeah, I think that, like, what was Emmanuel going to do? It was like the numbers are coming against him. He avoided it for this long, but it was just like there was absolutely no way he was escaping this vote.
Right. So he is going to go down there and pick Devin to face off against, saying basically to confessional, you know, if it's anything other than a puzzle, I got this, which is going to be very much followed by a puzzle. Three puzzles actually coming out. So there's that.
Well, We also get Tori saying, before he even calls out Devin, like, don't pick Devin. Anyone but Devin. Don't pick Devin. Which very clearly Nelson and CT confront right away. Like, so who'd you want him to pick, Tori? Like, Tori is putting her foot in her mouth from like the first second that she gets out of this elimination.
Yeah, and she talks about this on the podcast as well, the one with TJ being like, so just about like everything that happens from the time she gets back up there after winning her elimination until the time they like leave the arena for the night, she was like, that was stupid. I made lots of mistakes, and she wishes she could take it all back. Which, yeah, it's a lot of cringe for this entire segment here. I don't even know where to start. I mean, between like, there's obviously that where she's, you know, saying don't pick Devin, and everyone's like, okay, fuck you. And then, you know, the argument that she gets into with Nelson here, where Nelson is like going to start calling her out because, I mean, well, let's talk about these two. Like, was what Tori did voting for Nelson more personal than Nelson just throwing his vote on Tori?
It's tough because you know that like the one person that Nelson's not gonna vote for, like in theory, is Amanda. So like he threw a vote over, whatever. Whereas like theoretically votes could start stacking on Nelson. And especially like why if the idea was that like Amanda had to get home, then like why not just give her what she wants in voting her in? But if like that's it's like why not vote for, give her what she wants? But like Tori, you should feel secure that everyone else is doing it. So like you know the plan. Why are you getting so upset about this? So it's layered for sure. But I think like that should come out in the wash,
So yeah, I
the
mean,
votes.
I don't know. I mean, Tori definitely, like, besides the fact that like TJ was like, oh, you're first to vote, so it was just like right off the bat, here's a vote for Nelson. But it's, yeah, it's not like it was ever really going to go in his direction. So I don't know. It was like you said, it's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more going on than just, you know, kind of what was on the surface there. But when he starts like digging into her and he's like, typical Tori, and like that was like it literally felt like a kindergarten like fight of just like you pick a nickname that somebody hates and just keep calling them that, and then they start crying and they want to like, you know, tell the teacher on you, typical Tori, typical Tori, we all know you, typical Tori. And she was like, Nani, switch with me, I'm not standing next to him, like TJ, tell him to stop. Like that's really what it felt like. So I didn't
It
know what to do
was
with
so funny.
it.
Like when
Typical Tory.
the like not cool Tori that was like from the challenge the other week, like it's the same level. I actually thought this was probably more entertaining because it is typical Tori. Like she constantly like puts her foot in her mouth, like strategically she is not good, and then just like kind of throws a fit when it doesn't go her way. So it didn't surprise me in the slightest.
It just would have been so funny if Nelson, like, obviously, and if this happened, like, it never would air it, but if he was like, typical Tory, just being like all, you know, fake out here, and then you're gonna go home and tell me to come on your podcast, and then we're gonna be all best friends.
Yeah, it's not wrong. Like, and Tori continues to exemplify why this is typical Tori throughout the rest of the elimination too.
Yeah, so typical Tori is gonna, you know, switch spots with Nani, and you know, they, I guess, put a barrier in between the two of them so they could stop fighting. We see the puzzles come out. We get a little bit from Devin talking about how he was like, you know, he went through a lot of a big battle when he was younger with dyslexia. So a lot of, you know, what he did with memorizing things back as a kid has helped him, you know, with puzzles. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting tidbit because I don't know if he's talked about that before. But we get the puzzles. They come out. Emmanuel is not like terribly nervous, but as we go on, he's going to have reason to be. He finishes the first puzzle first, but then after Devin gets past that first puzzle, gets onto the second one, which was one that is very easy to memorize. And obviously, he did. CT did as well. I think like half of them up there had memorized it because CT was ready to go, giving him the answers. Tori obviously knew the answers, which is going to lead to some drama up there as well. You know, end of story here is going to be that Devin ends up getting the win over Emmanuel. But just the entire elimination is still all about Tori, who's up at the top. Just completely, you know, if this was like week one, week two, week three, any like week other than the final starting tomorrow, like this really could ruin her game.
Oh yeah, she would be done. Like the Vet Alliance would turn on her. It's just like a unfathomably bad mistake, and you would think if they were not forced to like work together, if it was someone that she didn't have quite as much history with, like this would screw her for next season and beyond. Like this could ruin a relationship.
And like I was almost confused as the way that like Devin was genuinely not upset about it, because from the way that the way it was all edited, and I don't know exactly what I mean, it's hard to say that it was like edited in any kind of funny way, because she's helping Emmanuel. Like, she's saying, you know, I want them both to win. I mean, we didn't see her helping Devin. I don't know if Devin needed help. CT was there helping Devin. And then Devin was like, I don't want the help. I know what I'm doing. I'm fine. And like the people that were on the, you know, all the way back there, they couldn't see the puzzles. The puzzles were facing them. So, you know, that's why you see Emmanuel yelling to them, like, this is what I have to do. I have to, you know, whatever, so that they could like maybe kind of help him. But it was just like Tori had no, there was no hiding that she was saying things specifically to Emmanuel and trying to give him a little push. Like, she wasn't like, you know, walking him step by step, but she was giving him way more help than anybody would have expected her to, considering her friendship with Devin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she was trying to. Like, this is the puzzle that I believe it did it first come out on, like, Bloodlines or something. And I remember, like, seeing it and just being like, oh, that's the solution. Like, it is not that hard to do, and it is extremely easy to memorize. I remember since I first saw it, like, have had it in my mind forever since then. And so Tori, like, having been on the challenge since around that point, like, knows this puzzle. It's come up multiple times by now. And like, yeah, she didn't say like, okay, you put the 9 at the top and then, but like, she wanted to. And right. Casey was not a distant either. Casey was also saying like 15, like, that is the number, like, and giving the answer. So 5's in the middle, and like, that is so helpful in knowing that. And maybe it was the only thing I could think that it was edited was like, maybe Emmanuel was like, they were both on the second part by the time that, or like, he would have been on there for like much longer than they like started showing, and so it was like, all right, Devin's never finishing this first part, let's just help him. But it seemed to be like blatantly just like not thinking it through. I don't know, it was so weird from Tori if she genuinely was like, could not pick. It seemed like she fully had chosen a side at that point.
She's just sitting here like 15.
Yep.
It's like, what are we doing? Like, who are you trying to hide this from? And then like, it's like almost funny also just Nelson being like, what are you doing? Like, why are you saying this? And Tori's like, I'm not saying anything, Nelson, stop it. He's like, you're saying everything. Like, it was just the wildest thing. I was like, is she on a different planet right now? Because nobody understands what's happening here, you know, from her. But again, Devin was fine, figured it all out, and, you know, won the elimination that, you know, it's a puzzle, it's puzzles, so, you know, you kind of expect he would be the favorite, and that he was, so he is happy that, you know, he gets to add this to his, what he calls a perfect game he's played so far, and now, you know, full speed ahead to the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it taking being called out for Tori to stop helping shows that, like, she would have if she could have, type thing. But Devin ultimately pulls through, I would say. I know that you would have preferred Amanda to win, I am assuming, on the first. And I'm assuming you would have, you're happy with Devin winning here.
Well, so, I mean, as far as like a draft goes, it would have been nice to have Emmanuel stick around, but it's not like I, you know, desperately needed him for this draft. That, you know.
All right. Just calm it down over there.
Just saying. So, I mean, it didn't make a huge difference to me. I don't, Devin's been kind of annoying this season, but I don't like hate him or anything like that. So like, I was fine to see him go towards the final and, you know, see what happens from there. So, you know.
Devin and Tori have been consistently like the most two annoying people for me. So this went exactly the opposite of how I would have preferred, but about how I would have expected it would go. Mm-hmm. So,
and before we, you know, get into everything with the final, and I guess we can kind of tie this in all together here. So as we get back to the house and we're getting ready for the final, well, I guess last thoughts on Emmanuel, anything?
I think he's like pretty good. He's not like a complete standout in terms of a TV character. I think that is mostly due to him hiding a lot of his like strategic ability, and just like being used to hiding that, I think, is going to cause you to hide also your personality just like by habit. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping he loosens up a little bit in the future. I think that he is like, I'll be like happy enough to see him on a next season, but if he wasn't there, I wouldn't like throw a fit by any means.
That's pretty much where I'm at. I'm expecting that he'll be there. I won't be upset when he's there. But exactly the same. Like, if he's not there, okay, that's fine. We'll figure it out. Okay, so let's take these finalists one by one, talking, because each one of them get a little bit about, like, you know, what it means for them to be going to the final, and whatever. And I kind of want to go in the order that they were drafted in, as far as our draft with Haley and Colin go. Just to start at the top here, the first overall pick in the draft is somebody that made the final, is somebody still in contention here. It's Casey. I picked her first in this draft, and I picked her first in the last draft. Last season, she made the, well, as her and Nani talk about, you know, this is her third final in three seasons. Nani, this is her third final in more seasons, but her third final, nevertheless. So Casey has just been a strong player anytime that you get her into these games. Social game is, you know, off the charts. She's in good with everybody she comes across. And then physically, you know, she's a dominating force most of the time. Obviously, she had the injury in the last final, which, you know, as we see in the final that we're going to start to watch now, that she's not the fastest one in the field there. And as far as puzzles go, you can't be too confident. But as just an overall player, you know, I felt good about picking Casey first overall twice. So this is where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a reason why when we were debating whether it's checkpoints or running, I was on team running. I feel, you know, and a number of those checkpoints are going to be physical, so it's hard to feel bad about Casey going into any final, barring any leg injuries. I think that she'll be just fine.
Right. So we'll see how things go for her. The next pick in order in our draft was Kyle, who Colin picked as the, this is the fifth overall pick. It was Casey, Corey, Fessy, Nam, and then Kyle is now the next pickup, who is in another final. He's made a couple finals, and as he says, you know, he hasn't won before, and this is one that he really wants to win because he's going to be a dad soon.
Yeah, Kyle is the one person remaining on the show that I am, like, actively rooting for at this point. I still really like Kyle. I feel like it's been one of my favorites for the last couple of seasons for sure. It's tough, though, because while I think Kyle is really good and, like, as proven by him coming in, like, second on, you know, at least one final, if not more, I think that Kyle is just, like, not quite up to... like anything Kyle's good at, someone here is better, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Like if we are looking at a different final here where, I mean, just to, you know, lay it all out there, when we kind of had 20 minutes in the podcast, personally, CT is like the favorite for the guy side, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you like took CT out of the equation, I could see a world where Kyle is like maybe the favorite here. He finished second place on, the last final he was in. I don't know if that was last season or whatever it was. Yeah, he's definitely, you know, got the skills to be able to be in the position of possibly winning, but he just finds himself there with a CT, a Bananas, you know, other people that are just maybe better.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's good at, like, the random challenges. Like, if it's, like, throw this onto this hook or, like, move this stuff. Like, he's good at all that. He's not just great at puzzles. And, like, I would say Devin and CT are better at puzzles, and Nelson and CT are probably better at running. So,
right.
It is, you know, if Kyle wins, I won't be like absolutely floored if he comes in first on the guy's side, but, I'm not expecting it.
No. So Kyle was there at the fifth pick. After Kyle was picked, it was then, Kells by you and Ashley by Haley. And then I had CT as the next pick. I have him, what was that? The eighth overall pick. So yeah, I mean, yeah, CT making a final, like him being my second overall pick there. I remember I was like, well, it was CT and Berna was the team, and we knew the teams as we were drafting that one there. So I was like, that's a strong team. And I was just like, I can't continue drafting underestimating CT, even when everything within you says there should be no reason for CT to get to the final because they should be smart enough to take him out. It doesn't always feel like that's going to happen. And then, you know, we get to see this whole season all the way through, and it just kind of shows you exactly why you can't wait too long to take CT in a draft.
Remember the days where CT would go like halfway through one of our drafts?
Maybe like the last round. Yeah.
It was so far. And I just am floored because it wasn't that I didn't think CT could win. It was that I just didn't understand how people would let him get this far.
Right.
And it just like he goes the entire season after handily winning last season without getting one elimination, not even an attempted, like someone should throw him in once. No one tried. It just absolutely like phenomenal season from CT. Like you said, one of the best winning chances on the board. And so it's just like it is frustrating to see that no one even took a shot. And I would not be like super excited just watching like, oh yeah, he walked to the end with no problems and then won the season. But, you know, it's not unexpected either.
Right. And I can kind of tie in also the must lose draft and where people went in the must lose draft. Casey went last in that one. So she went first in the one where we wanted to pick a winner and last in the one where we wanted to pick a loser. CT went second to last in that one. I still have him on my team there. So, you know, I'm rooting for CT to win and lose. Very fun. And then we talked about Kyle. Kyle was in the third to last round of the must lose draft. But up next after CT, Berna was my next pick there. And then Devin and Tori back to back here. So that's pretty fitting. Devin was picked by Haley and Tori was picked by you. So, where are you at with these two?
You know, for Devin, I am not seeing it. He is good at the puzzles and I feel like he's actually been doing pretty well in this final up until this point. But I am just not seeing a world in which like he's not gassing out at some point on next challenge. I feel like very good season up until this point, but just for whatever reason, my brain is not letting me see it.
No, and there was like a line in there, which I was like, is this me reading the Survivor edit? But like, they did not have to. Like, he wasn't on the screen. It was while they were running up the mountains. And you hear Devin saying, I need to take a break. And I was like, he's truly, like, there was no need for that to be in there. But if we're already hearing Devin say he's tired when, like, nobody else is, it's like, that's not the most encouraging thing. And I don't know if he did take a break. I don't know if he paused wherever he was. But, you know, just something there. I also don't, you know, I wouldn't have had him at the top anyway. I think Nelson was, you know, showing a strong start to the final here. And as we mentioned about Kyle earlier, I feel like he's a, you know, a good contender to be in there. So I don't know, even with all the puzzles in the world, that I feel like once we get to the finish line, it's going to be Devin in the lead. That's where he was in the must win draft. It was 8, 9, 10th, and then in the must lose draft he was in the fourth round from the front. So he was, I don't know how to do this math,
whatever
but he was kind of like in the front middle, meaning that he was closer to the side of people that you want to pick because you don't think that they're going to win. Tori was towards the end of people that, you know, in the last couple rounds, the last three rounds, thinking that, you know, there could be a chance of her winning. So pretty much the same spot on both boards there for Tori. Tori is, I think at this point, I mean, she's looking the strongest. The women's side is where I'm having a very hard time predicting who I think is going to win. I think it'll come down to Tori or Casey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like Tori has had a like ton of screen time this season. Just like absolutely. There's so much of this story is about Tori. And especially like leading into this final, there's been a lot of for both like Tori and Nelson. They had that scene where Tori's talking about how she like wants to prove it to herself and wants to do it. And Nelson's talking about how he wants to do this for his mom and open up a shop for her. So I think that Tori definitely is in there with a fighting chance. The problem is also, I don't even know. Do we have it established that is going to be like a male winning and a female winning and that's it? Like, I don't even know who's winning at this point.
I just feel like that's what I think it is.
Like, so are we going to have like the orange versus purple and that's how we're finishing the final? I don't think so. Like, is it one overall winner? Maybe it's like one person from each gender. Like, maybe, I don't know. We could be randomly swapped into teams again. So it's a little difficult to say definitively, like, I feel great about this person and terrible about this person. Cause I don't know how they'll be running the final leg of the final, but assuming that it is competing against like the women of the final, I think Tori has a good shot.
Well, did you not watch the like last part of the episode where they kind of talked about what happens next?
I watched like the preview. I know he talked about how the cell would be like until I say so, but it wasn't like no.
I could have sworn that he mentioned what was happening next within the cells, but
you maybe, can say it. If I missed it, that's my fault.
Maybe I'm dreaming it. I think he said that there was going to be like an elimination between the two men and the two women in the cell.
Okay, so I believe that was in the preview because I was going to bring that up later. Okay. But yeah, I think that was in the preview talking about, and I don't think it was even explicitly said like between the cell. I think it was kind of like, and now like you have to go against each other. So I don't know that it was explicit explicitly said for the cell, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get to that in the end. We're still talking through each person here. So then we get to Nelson in the fourth round of the must-win draft, and he was in a similar spot in the must-lose draft, so Nelson is here for another final. You know, props to him for making it this deep into the season, which I feel like he hasn't made it this far in a while. I don't know if this is like maybe his third final or something. I mean, he's been here before, even though the way that he talks about getting to the final, you wouldn't think that he has. He's like, oh, this is my dream. I'm like, you know, you've done this before. But now you just have to get the win. So yeah, Nelson trying it out again, and a strong start.
Yeah, I think it only a second final? That's surprising. I feel like you would think it was better, but in particular the last two seasons, he has had such a rough run that it feels surprising to still have Nelson at this point. But he's been fun this season. I've enjoyed Nelson. So I think that he's definitely live to win, especially, like I said, given that content about, like, oh, he wants to do this for his mom and open up a shop. I felt like that was really good winner content.
It was, but I also feel like if, like, you know, edit wise, I feel like if he was going to win, I would think that there would be like a callback to Corey being like, I'm doing this for both of us.
It could be on the finale, but yeah.
When Corey left, he was like, you got to win this, you know, for both of us. And I feel like Nelson said the same thing to Corey last time around. And I don't know. You know, that's just the bromance of the century for those who partake. So, you know, we'll see what's up next for Nelly T. And then after Nelson, we had some picks of Michaela and Amber and Emmanuel and Amber. And then Nani went in the fifth round there by Haley. Nani still on the board, and she was picked with Allie's fourth pick. So, again, a pretty similar spot right in the middle of the boards here of, you know, we always say this about Nani. We know she's going to be there for a while. Do we think she's going to win, especially after this beginning start here? No, I don't think we do. But I'm glad she's trying.
The highlight of this, like, first part of the final for me is CT finishes his puzzle, which is a map of the world, and Nani has a confessional that's like,
I know,
it's like, CT forgot to mess up his puzzle and I'm gonna copy it. It's like the, like, they don't know I know this hack energy. I know. And she goes over and copies his puzzle. And first of all, it's a map of the world. You shouldn't need to copy it. And second of all, she still comes in last.
I know.
It was so funny.
I was like, did she copy the wrong one? Did CT, like, intentionally mess up the board before he left and she copied that? I think that's possible.
No, he even says, he's like, oh, crap, I forgot to mess up my puzzle. So, like, Nani had the answer key to a thing that she should have already known and still came in last.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing of, like, I feel like if that were me in that spot, you can't spend that much. Like, if you're in, like, desperate times and you need to look at somebody's puzzle, sure, look at it. But, like, otherwise, focus on the puzzle that you're working on. Because if you start paying attention, like, am I matching this up correctly with, like, this person's puzzle that's, like, you know, 5 feet away from me? I don't know. It's just too not worth it. And she kind of, I guess, figured that out the hard way as she, yeah, came in last in that part of the leg and off to a really, you know, rough start for somebody who is really hoping to get this win under her belt. But that's okay. Okay. Sorry, Nani.
I don't see it. She wants to, like, cross the finish line with Casey, and, like, that's her big dream. I don't think that we'll be having, like, full teams winning this, so I don't think that they will be winning together. But you know what? Nani does beat Casey in that, like, final part of the challenge that we see here today.
They were both the last two. Like, that's just not promising.
I mean, she beat Casey.
It's so not promising. It's, yeah, like, I'm glad that they're doing all this stuff together, but they really should separate a little bit more if either of them wants a chance to win, because they've been towards the bottom of the pack.
So apparently on this final part of the final that we saw today, at least, when Devin, like, finishes first and he runs up ahead, I think they talk about it on the Anissa and Tori pod that Devin was screaming, like, it's a purge, it's a purge. So they probably thought they were getting purged. And I'm kind of amazed that Nani ran ahead and, like, theoretically lets Casey get purged there because takes her own chances at the final, because, like, I feel like if you're Nani and Casey, like, maybe let Casey take this one. Like, she has the better chance here.
You think they like, believed him?
I don't know. Tori, like, talked about it as if, like, yeah, we really, like, got our, like, blood pumping. Like, oh, my God, one of us is about to actually get eliminated from this right now.
Hmm.
So maybe not, but just like, I also wouldn't want to take that chance of like eliminating the person like in the your other half who like they are talking about going through like having a child together in present day.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? Like, I'm going to eliminate you, even though I have literally zero chance of winning this final.
Wow. A bigger betrayal possibly than if Tori, you know, everything Tori was doing in the arena. And then the only other person we haven't talked about yet, a couple picks after Nani in our must win draft is, of course, the rookie of the season, some are saying, Emmy, who was the first overall pick in the must lose draft that has been well covered. Alex's first pick there. Emmy has made the final here. And, you know, as far as where we see her at the end of this first part of the final, to finish in the top half. And, you know, she's got Uncle CT by her side. She's not... I mean, as I already mentioned, I think it's probably going to end up being between Casey and Tori for the women's side. She's, you know, I guess I'm saying she's not my top pick here, but I don't think, you know, you can count her out. I think she's shown so much promise all season long that, you know, she's definitely live.
Yeah, like, I am not ready to cut my pinky off in saying that Emmy has no shot. I'm not counting her out of complete equity by far. I think she's probably third on the women's side. I'm still going to take her over Nani. But I don't know. I think Emmy, like, yes, Emmy was the rookie of the season, I would say. Just has, like, absolutely demolished so much of what's been put in front of her. But, like, you know what? This will be a great learning experience for future finals that she makes.
Right. So, as far as, like, the individual, like, aspects of this final go that we saw, we didn't see a lot. We saw, like, two different checkpoints and some running up until this point. But does anything stand out to you that, I mean, I can't imagine anything stands out to you here. It's very typical for a challenge final so far. But does anything stand out to you?
The aqua scooters look super fun. Those were made a return. That was nice.
Is that what it was called? An aqua scooter? I was like, I jet thing. So. I wrote jet thing.
Yeah, I think they're aqua scooters. Okay. Again, if anyone would like to purchase me one, I would love. But no, I feel like anything that was like a real highlight, we have already like brought up in discussing each of these people.
Right.
So I guess outside of like, we have this like formation of the cells again at the end. And it's still like kind of a bad thing to be coming in first here, where like you get no actual choice of whether like in making, you are just picking your team jersey color rather than who you're actually on a team with. So I still think that it's interesting they stuck with that, as well as purple diamond and orange diamond for the names. Mm-hmm. Sure. But otherwise, no, I really don't have much else.
Mercedes Iman Diamond.
Yeah, that would have been a better name.
Yeah. I don't like, can you imagine that there's ever a world where somebody gets to the mat in the first four like people that make it there and they pick a different mat than everybody else is already on?
Yeah, I can. Like, I very much could, like,
what's
see.
What's the scenario?
Let's see, like, I don't know, randomly Nani like beast a puzzle and just like gets to the end and then like CT runs up. He's taking the other side.
Oh, CT. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. So if CT,
you know what
came.
I mean?
Yeah. Fair enough. It's, I guess, hard to see, you know, the scenario where Nani finishes a puzzle before CT and gets there. So I guess that's why it's hard for me to imagine. But yeah, no, I guess that could be a possibility. Like, if it's like specifically like CT, otherwise I feel like everybody else, like CT, like knows exactly what he wants out of every aspect of where he's running this final. But I feel like most people are going to be like, oh, the first four people to finish are the strongest four people right now. And I want us to be together. So
should
I feel like
CT have taken Devin even?
I don't see any problem with that. I mean, look at his options left. I mean, I don't think that him and Nelson have like any chemistry together. I feel like, you know, there's no like, you know, he's got CT, Kyle, and Devin are like the bros. Like, they were in the room together. They had that scene before they left being like, this is the best room ever. So you're going to imagine he wants to go with either Devin or Kyle. And when it comes down to that, we've already seen a puzzle here. There's probably going to be another one. And I feel like you want Devin by your side for that.
I feel like CT has the puzzles so firmly covered that like he was happy to have Ed and Nelson on his team.
But
don't
let Devin run away to the other team and help them with their puzzles, and then you have competition.
Yeah, but like you want Devin gassing out on you instead. Like, that is a problem that I foresee like being a very real possibility.
Yeah, I think as CT's said many times, the final, you know, and it's hard to disagree, is Well, actually, we did disagree about this. It's about the checkpoints. We did disagree about this. I don't disagree with this. So this is why I will be on his side here, that I do think it's about the checkpoints, and you want Devin on your side for that. So that's just where I stand.
But my thing is, I think CT is better at those checkpoints than Devin, and like just needs like get the Ferrari by your side and like carry them to the final. Someone that can run with you, great, because CT's finishing almost every puzzle ahead of Devin.
Mm. All right, well... That is where we sit here, as we're going to see these new diamonds formed.
So stupid.
Yeah, we're going to see it's CT and Devin with Tori and Emmy, and they're very happy with this team. And then Kyle, Nelson, Nani, and Casey are going to be on the other side. Nani was like, just got like a taste of what Tori's been through the past like week and change of like having to convince yourself that Kyle and Nelson is a good team, being like, there's so much heart over here. It's like, okay. That's what Tori's been saying, but that's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, lots of heart in the diamond, and to be continued.
Yeah, so, I mean, you brought it up before. I think it was in the preview, maybe I was wrong, where they basically say, like, you're going to go against each other. I also took that to mean that potentially we would be seeing people fighting against the other member of their cell. So I'm assuming that's what you mean, and are you hoping to see go against each other here?
Well, which
of these do you think that like we're both members of the purple like cell and both members of the orange, or are we seeing like whichever team comes last? Because I kind of feel like it is the team that comes first is all fine, and the team that comes second, two of you are going home.
You know, that makes a lot more sense than what I was thinking. Because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, they're just going to eliminate like half the field and then have some really intense, you know. No, that makes a lot more sense what you just said. Okay, so one of them will be safe. And it's hard to bet against the CT, Devin, you know, Tori and Emmy team here. I feel like that mm-hmm. team is, you know, they were started strong and that's how they got to where they are. And then I feel like they're going to be okay in this next leg. Oh my God, Nani versus Casey is going to pop.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's awful. And
that has been like, that is why I have thought Nani was going to go home for like so long, where Nani is like, all we want to do is cross the finish line together. And like one of them is going to have to take each other out.
Okay.
And that is so satisfying.
Well, in that world, as much as we were, you know, just joking that, you know, Nani was about to run ahead and let Casey get purged, I don't think that she lets that happen again. If they are face to face in an elimination, I think Nani makes sure that Casey goes farther in this final. That's just the way I'm feeling here. And then Kyle versus Nelson, if that's what it comes to. Both of these guys are strong in eliminations. Do you have like a strong...
I don't have a favorite, honestly. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty even. Kyle even at one point was like, me and Nelson are the exact same athlete, which I don't know that I agree with. like, I don't know that that is true personally, but I think that like it's a good matchup. I don't have like... I think Kyle's probably like a little bit better at puzzles typically. Nelson's probably a little bit stronger typically. So I think that it's well matched, and I would be excited to see that one for the matchup and excited to see Nani Casey for the drama. And even if it becomes like Devin versus CT and Tori versus Emmy, like Devin and CT are well matched in a puzzle, but like Devin would get destroyed in most anything else, and that would be fun for me. And Tori and Emmy would be a pretty decent matchup too. So I actually really like how these teams shook up, if that is the main purpose of them.
Emmy going 5-0 and taking Tori out at the end here would be like legend status. And, kind of wouldn't hate seeing that. And then CT versus Devin. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to continue going with CT as the favorite for everything here. But yeah, Kyle Nelson is the one that I'm still hung up on. I feel like I'm ultimately going to give the edge to Kyle. I feel like he has the support of everybody else around him on his side. I feel like, you know, people would be rooting for him and maybe helping him if there's any helping aspect of it. And then just, I don't know. I feel like when it comes down to it, I feel like Kyle is focused. so I don't know.
Yeah, I think I would probably lean that way. It's just wild because Nelson is one of the people that you think of as like, he's not winning. He is not winning finals. He is not winning dailies, but was just like an absolute elimination monster. So, yeah, surprising to find ourselves in a spot where we're not as confident in his chances.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all that I have on this first part here. We're going to get into plenty more next week as we, I imagine, finish the final.
Well, who are you rooting for if it's a male-female winner? That's the only question I have left.
We've literally just spent, you know, a long time talking. Not just
you got
tonight.
10 seconds. Tell me.
I'm sorry. What? No. Wait, okay. What'd you say? Who am I rooting for on both sides?
Just like one man, one woman.
Ugh, that's so hard. Okay. I mean, I have to essentially do this by, you know.
I love that you were like, we've been talking about it for so long, but like, then you should know.
No. I was going to say, we've been talking for this for so long, like about how it's hard to like root for these people. And I mean,
yes, I agree.
Conversations we've had both online and offline lately. So that's what I was getting at. As far as, again, I feel like I have to like eliminate people in order to get to the answer there. The person that I would want to win the most on the guy's side would be Kyle. He's just my favorite of those four. Followed by Devin.
Ugh.
Followed by Nelson, followed by CT. Just don't need to see another CT win. I'd rather somebody else get a championship under their belt. So that's just my order there. And then on the women's side, we're getting a new champion here, so that's, you know.
Assuming it's not a solo winner.
I feel like if there was a solo winner, TJ would have said it by now. I feel like,
do you?
I don't know.
I don't trust anything by them anymore.
I know. Okay, so at the bottom of the list, I think I'm saying Emmy.
Ooh, okay.
I don't care a whole lot for the rookie winners. Sorry to Turbo. Well, it was Turbo was a rookie, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was his first season. Come on.
I mean, Turbo's great and all, but like, I don't need the rookies to win. I'm always going to prefer to see a veteran get rewarded after a couple seasons of trying.
Can't relate.
Sorry. then I'm going Casey.
Okay.
Wow. It's, I mean,
this is wild. This is wild.
Look, if this is purely on heart, I'd rather see Nani get a championship. I know it's not going to happen, but I would love to see her be a champion. And then Tori second.
Just to make it super quick, I would say for me, it's Kyle far and away. And then I think it might also be Nani.
Yeah. Like why not?
Well, the thing is, if you told me that, like, Nani would be my top choice in a final, I would be like, I'm not watching this season. but yeah, I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah. All right. Well, but as I try to close this segment for the fourth time, are we anything else here?
Just that. We're good.
I think I talked over you while you were saying it. What'd you say?
And Tori's last.
Okay. Not Devin surprised last. About that. But again, I like to see veterans rewarded after a couple seasons, even if it's somebody that I don't particularly care for. But that's not always the case. I don't know. Okay, we're closing out that one for now. I have to imagine and hope that we're going to get the winner as of next week, because then we're going into, you know, reunion time probably. And then, like, are we having episodes around Christmas time? Are we having episodes, like, in the New Year's time? I maybe wouldn't be surprised, but I also would be surprised. I don't know. I have no idea.
I won't be surprised at this point. I mean, what? Next is the – we're going to have a two-part reunion like we do.
Yeah, so there's no question. Go to the end of the month?
Yeah, I would think the end of the month.
Okay, I guess we'll see what happens there. But I mean, unless they're going to do, like, are they going to give us BS of like, we're going to tell you the winners at the...
No way. We haven't done that in so many seasons. And I believe that that was an MTV decision, not a challenge decision. Right. I think that MTV has backed off that.
That would be wild. What was that? The last time they did it was Vendettas? No, Vendettas...
I think it was Vendettas, because I think the first time was Dirty 30, and then they did it again, Vendettas, and I just looked it up because I was I'm not waiting 4 weeks. Absolutely not.
I know. I remember looking it up being like, I'm not waiting for this. BS. So,
yeah, I'm not even going to watch part 4 of your reunion, so goodbye. Like, no.
All right, so hopefully it doesn't come to that. Let's talk about the Challenge All-Stars 2 exclusively on Paramount Plus. We are coming back in off of a big elimination last week. We lost Derek and we lost somebody else. Who did we lose? Katie.
wow.
That wasn't shade. That was me forgetting. Katie and Derek are out of the game. And yeah, where do we want to get into things here?
I would say... there's like a couple like quick things at the beginning of the episode, but I think like they're all like back at the house partying when we see like a little side meeting for what is now introduced as the Three Kings Alliance, consisting of Nehemiah, Letarian, and Tech, that I thought was pretty interesting, being that it was introduced last week with including Melinda and, like, for now, Steve, which was how they phrased it last week.
Right.
Now we see why. So I thought it was interesting that it is like the making it clear that the core is these three guys.
Yeah. They definitely, you know, spoke with a lot of hesitancy towards Steve. And as you said, we're going to see why. They're like, who else does he have? Like, we'll have his back, you know, he's going to have ours. So why not? Obviously, as they mentioned, you know, this is the room that they're all in together. So it just seemed like a natural place for them to come together. But the thing is that I'm going to say probably 10 times in this episode is, who the hell is Steve, right? So, like, no one knows this guy as far as fans go, as far as these guys go. Like, this could be a total stranger that walked in off the street. They said that he was on a season a long time ago, and everyone's like, yeah, sure. I mean, Katie vouched for him saying that she knew who he was. But other than that, I don't think anyone knows who this guy is. So he's just a total wild card. And that's why it's a little confusing that they're like, oh, let's include him because you don't know anything about him. Sure, it's like he seems like a lone wolf, like easy to scoop up for a vote or whatever, but you don't know anything about him. Like, he doesn't bring you any additional help in the game in the form of, like, you know, extra connections. He's just there. And it feels like for them, these guys, these three kings, like, I would have preferred to see them link up with some other stronger players. Like, you can't make a vet alliance on a season of All-Stars, but, like, that's what protected the vets on 37. You gotta link up with other powerful players instead of making them the enemy. Pretend that you're going to work with them, and instead you're clinging on to Steve for your last hope here. So it doesn't leave you with a lot of promise for these three.
I mean, we flagged up that, like, Tyler's left in the middle. Why are we not scooping up Tyler? Why are we not looking at, like, Jasmine and John A are, like, a already established, like, little pair. Why not try to pick them up? Like, right. There are people here that I think would be beneficial that are seemingly being ignored. And, I mean, it's talked about in this episode. Like, it is a very blatant alliance that is being just, like, exposed right in the middle of the house.
Right. So more on them in a bit. We're going to get a check-in with Tina and Casey at this part of the episode. I mean, just to get this out of the way, crushing episode here, as we're going to lose one of the stars of the season, Tina, in this episode. And we're going to, you know, going back through from the top, you kind of see how it's all playing out and, you know, what leads Tina to the decision that she makes in that elimination. She's talking to Casey about, you know, kind of just who Tina is in this game. And, you know, Casey's like, well, I used to think you were a mean girl, and now I see that you have grown and you have a heart and you're not a terrible person like maybe some people think that you are. Because back in the day, as we see this montage of clips of Tina yelling at people and being angry and being loud and whatever, kind of, you know, just putting her all out there. She tells us that, you know, she doesn't want to be that person anymore. And, you know, that's just, I guess, what she goes back to every time she gets back to a game like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she says, like, she's gonna play diplomatic and fair. She's no longer that angry person. And I think this was, like, an interesting side that I'm glad we got this scene for Tina. It, like, shows us where she's at now. If we're not going to be able to see her much longer, I'm glad to see that we got how we got to this point. But yeah, Tina's the, like, biggest name on this cast. She is the biggest get, and you know, I feel like old Tina's in there a little bit still.
Yeah. And I don't know that this is, like, the, you know, the comparison, but I think I already made it in this podcast earlier, of just, like, a little like dotted line. I feel like you can draw Tina to Amanda, of just like entertainment and somebody like everything that I said about Amanda earlier, like, not afraid to be loud and, you know, get in your face and call you out or whatever. Like, that's, you know, that's Tina. And obviously Tina did it first, did it longer. And, you know, they're not the exact same character, the same person. But as far as, like, with Amanda goes, I feel like she's somebody who does it because it's, like, her thing in a way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe Tina is realizing or whatever that, like, this isn't, like, a character she's kind of portraying. This is, like, genuinely, like, she's getting angry in these games and gets worked up easily. And I guess I am kind of cutting ahead to the end here, but I don't know. We're talking about Tina. I feel like they are different, and I don't want to keep cutting ahead to the end, but I don't know where
it's
to
fine.
Stop.
Okay. You're good. We can move on.
I don't know. Anything else on this scene?
No, not with Tina. Okay. Here.
I'm like, I'm going somewhere, but I'm just going to completely stop in my tracks so that we can save some discussion for later. And then the big conversation here is Melinda's story.
Yeah. So in case people did not watch, I guess a short content warning for talking about loss of pregnancy. But Melinda gives us a insight into where she talks about how tomorrow, you know, during filming time is the day that she had scheduled her C-section for her baby who did not make it. She ultimately talked about on, I think, the podcast, how she got the call for season one, but was pregnant at the time, didn't know that she had actually already lost the baby. And she had a really tough time, but saw All Stars 2 as like the perfect time to like get back out there and like prove to herself that like she's still an athlete. And she's talking to MJ and John A, and like they're super supportive about it. She's like so happy like with how this was portrayed on TV. Even talks on the podcast about how like every single person in that house was like super supportive and like was there for her. So definitely a like very positive scene for something that's like so common for people to go through.
And it was, you know, nice to have John A and MJ both, you know, there for her. And you know, John A seems to show up at like all these random spots, like where people need her the most. So you know, you love to see that she's able to, you know, comfort people in times that are really tough for them. But yeah, a super tough moment there for Melinda as she's, you know, sharing that with them. And you know, super tough for her to have gone through that in the first place. And you know, you got to agree with every sentiment that anybody is sharing about her in this episode, about how strong she is and the fact that, you know, she's able to kind of pick herself back up and, you know, keep on living, you know, keep on going through life here. And you know, the way that the fact that like she answered the call to come here in the first place when, you know, maybe some other people wouldn't because they'd be, you know, not up for it, but she's definitely looking to, you know, use this as an opportunity. As she said on the podcast, you know, she felt like this was like a sign that like this was something for her that she should go do for herself. So she does seem overall happy that she is here this season. And yeah, so you know, I know I was talking last week about how you know, I was like, what are we doing with Melinda here? I guess this episode is just kind of, you know, smacking me across the face saying you never know when someone's going to have a story that's going to be meaningful on a show like this. That's what the point of the show is. You never know when anybody could have something to share that, you know, whether or not they're the most exciting television character that's going to make an impact on the show. So,
yeah. And I like that she did say on the official podcast, she's like, people have never gotten to see like my funny side or like how joking I am or like how open like with every story in her life she is. She has a podcast that she like will just tell like very raunchy stories or like anything of the type. Mm-hmm. And like is telling on like an official MTV product. Like, yeah, they edit me to be boring. So I think that she like is a more fun character that they don't really like they have other big personalities and they kind of make Melinda like the pretty like quieter girl, and I don't think that's really who she is. So
right,
I was like
disappointing.
I want to see like more of Melinda. I think she's actually like, again, from the podcast appearances that I've listened to, she's a bunch of fun.
Right, like I feel like she could easily be like a Jemmy, like narrating, you know, if she's got like funny stuff to say, like show me it. I want to laugh at Melinda with Melinda.
Yeah, I agree. It's a high bar, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, so that is, you know, she's going to share that there. And then, of course, we're going to see more with Melinda throughout the episode. We get to the challenge, which is called Bounce Back. And personally, I think we found the challenge that I would be the most excited to ever compete in. number one. It's hard to think of anything else that I'd much more rather do, but it is just a series of a stacked trampoline stack going all the way out into the ocean. Once you get to the top, you gotta take a big jump and knock down your whatever piece, and then swim back to shore, do a math equation when you get back. And you know, we're gonna see some people have some success and some people have a lot of not success here.
Yeah, so it turns out actually Melinda was the person who went first in the real time, which I think adds a little bit of context for some of the rest. So I guess we'll start there, where Melinda goes first, and like there are pieces like hanging from like fishing line, basically like wires, and it would seem like to me too that the best strategy is to like grab them. But in grabbing them, like slides to one side, falls off balance, falls in the water, actually gets a concussion and loses consciousness, realizes she's in the water and gets pulled from the challenge.
Yeah. I got to say, like, I mean, I don't know if you thought this too, but when she jumped and was in the water, I thought she might have like cut herself really badly.
Yeah.
Because like she jumped up and she like grabbed the thing.
Oh, that's
and
scary. Yeah.
I was terrified that she like ripped her arm open.
Yeah.
Like I was like, are we waiting to see blood? Like, not to say like this was any better. Obviously, you know, concussion is super serious, and just the way that she, you know, gets into the water, like she gets back to shore, and she described it on the podcast being like, I just didn't even realize that I was like in the water. I was like, how did I get here? Like, I have to swim. I'm in a body of water right now. So yeah, just terrifying. It seemed like overall a lot of the women were struggling with this one. I don't know if like, I don't know if there was anything like with that side of the thing that like their particular trampoline set or whatever, but just they were having a hard time getting the pieces down, at least from what we saw. And Melinda especially, you know, who ends up getting like medevaced from the challenge and is going to ultimately be the one who loses the challenge as well because of the fact that she didn't go as many times as Casey did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was hard. Apparently, like, you can even tell like when they start versus when they finish the challenge by like the lighting, that it took all day long because they had to go individually, and it just took like, you know, they had to go at least three times each, if not more. So many people were going 5-6 times, and it was just like, looked absolutely exhausting. So when people were making fun of like, oh, Tina like bunny like hopping up there, I was like, no, that looks normal. Why would people make fun of that? So apparently a storm rolled through, so it does not surprise me at all that people struggled greatly like with this.
Yeah. I mean, poor Tech out here with the, with like struggling with the math when everybody else is out here like smacking their face on water, like nearly drowning at the edge of this, you know, at the edge of this platform when, once they get in. But, you know, poor guy with the math. So, yeah, obviously Jasmine is kind of, I don't know if you call it a highlight. I guess, yeah, a highlight. I don't want to say her struggles are a highlight, but
TJ does.
The way that she gets through it all and perseveres when you could easily, I guess, kind of imagine maybe Jasmine of years ago, just kind of, you know, wrapping it up after a couple times of falling. But then she, you know, channels that mom strength and is like, no, I'm doing this. I gotta, you know, show that I can do it. TJ does tell us later on, he was the most proud of Jasmine's performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Jasmine, for like Casey, who ends up quitting, like I wouldn't blame people on quitting, especially if they knew that like, all right, I've passed Melinda, I don't need to like win this, because this looked hard. And like, you see Melinda like go out and get concussed in the very first round. That is not something that I'm looking to do personally. So good on Jasmine for finishing, but I also wouldn't have held it against her had she decided to call it a day after she like got the wind completely knocked out of her.
Yeah, like, I mean, as much as I'm saying like I feel like this challenge would be fun, like I don't have that feeling of smacking the water super hard and, you know, getting the wind knocked out of you and then having to swim back to shore. So I'm just looking at the trampolines here, people. Yeah, it did seem super tough. And you know, it doesn't help when some people are out here making it harder for themselves. Steve, who's like, you know, oh, I got this. I'm so smart. I'm knocking down multiple pieces. And then, you know, his piece that floats in the water is like going a mile away and he has to go get it, which is going to, you know, lead to his downfall in the challenge. He's going to end up being the loser on the guy's side. But, overall just, you know, a lot more going on here than you would expect seeing the setup of this challenge, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I thought like, and it was a pretty decent challenge. Like, I didn't hate watching it, but it probably was like a little long. Maybe we could have done this further in the season, and like a little dangerous as well. But it was like, you know, a average challenge for me.
I'm just glad that they went in like pairs, because I swear my first thought when he explained the challenge was that they would go one by one. maybe I didn't see like a shot of the both of them next to each other, but I really thought that they were going to go one by one. So I was like, yeah, they will be there for 3 days finishing this challenge. throughout this, we're getting a confessional from Nehemiah, who's talking about how, you know, somebody in their alliance has to win or people are coming for them. And it's just, again, to talk about them, like, that's not where you want to be at this point. Like, you, like, I'm glad you have an alliance, but it's not doing you guys super well to be that obvious or that, like, you know, down. They made a big move last week and whatever, but the fact that, like, they're saying, you know, we have to win or people are coming for us specifically, I'm like, yeah, that sucks. That's not, you know, ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not ideal. And I think, like, the opposing alliance that we were shown last week, like, also dumb on them for just staying in a room together, like, really should be spreading out to try to, like, spy on everyone else and like not make it as obvious. But at least I guess they weren't openly talking about it until they got like overheard, so they were a tiny bit more discreet. Not a whole lot, but you know, it's just not ideal. You don't want to be openly so obvious, especially when like this early in the game when you don't have the numbers,
right? So yeah, we are going to end up seeing that by the time the challenge is over. It is Melinda going in on the women's side because of her medevac, essentially, and Steve going in on the guy's side. So the winners, though, are going to end up being Jody for the women, who apparently did a lot better than everybody else. And TJ was not, you know, shy about telling them that, which I'm like, if I'm Jody, I'm like, do I want them to know that? I don't know. But, and then Brad and Darrell were the top two on the guy's side. Very close, apparently. But Darrell did the best, which Brad was very happy about, because as Derek has been complaining about for a while now, you know, winning comes with maybe too much power.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising winners at all from this week, who would have been my top male and top female choice to be winning the challenge.
Yes. And yeah, Tech is Tech's worried. He thinks that, you know, they're going to have a lot of numbers going in here and losing numbers from, you know, from votes and all this kind of stuff. So it's not a good look, or not a good setup here for the Kings.
Yeah, but don't worry. Ayana is there with the life shield, and she would save him even over Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hard to hard to be upset about that. Yeah, yeah. So as we're going to get to, you know, Darrell and Jody talking about what they're going to do, they do end up, you know, kind of pulling in Brad a little bit for strategizing of, you know, what they're going to do. Obviously, Derek was Jody's number one, and now Derek's gone. So they're kind of like, Jody, you know, we could work with you. Like, we're missing a number. You could come hang out with us, which, you know, is going to end up working a lot better than pulling in Steve, because at least they know Jody. They have a connection to Jody from the Derek of it all. So, you know, this does seem like a trio that could potentially be strong moving forward into the game. And once we get down to the nominations, we're going to see Tech and Steve go up on the board, Tina and Ayana go up on the board, obviously for the move to be made that Ayana would have to pull herself down.
Yeah, and Ayana does not take this well. I love her her like reaction a lot, where she's just like so offended, but she's like, wow, so I just want to get it straight. You want to take my life shield I earned with my time, and I just want to get straight. Is that your plan? Is that what you're doing? It's just like, it's so funny.
It's which like, is like, yeah, exactly what they're doing. And it's like, I want to appreciate Ayana in that moment, but also I'm looking at Darrell like, what are you going to even say to this? Like, or Jody, because they say exactly what you would expect of like, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened last week. And it's probably going to happen almost every week going forward, because that's what the life shield is. Like, that's how you defeat the life shield. But they're just like, oh, that's a reaction.
It's so funny. Cause like, it's genuinely funny. Like, Ayana is so offended, and I agree, like, they probably should have burned Brad's too, just for like appearance sakes. If we're gonna criticize the three Kings 100%. For being so open, like, maybe hide this a little better with Brad. Just like, even if it's so obviously for an appearance, just do it. Like, there's no harm. So I don't know that would have changed anything for Ayana ultimately, but like, yeah, definitely an oversight by them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, aside from like coming down in her jersey just to, you know, be like, I'm ready to go again. You know, still good enough for a Ayana moment in this episode, as, you know, she said at the top of the episode, like, people got to stop thinking that they're just going to throw me in time and time again and, you know, get me out of here like that. That's not going to happen. So, it's been happening. But
when we said stars of the season with, like, first of all, obviously Sophia still number one.
Yes.
But like, Tina and like Derek went home, and now Johnny's like not even that relevant. Like, Ayana, like, number one bullet, like, no question. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the star of the season to this.
So point. I mean, after this episode, who of the remaining people, who's our stars?
Ayana, period. Like, that, okay, is, well, number
we need
one
it, we need a two and three.
Okay. I think Nehemiah's like up there.
Okay.
Right. I'm trying to think. Do you have a pick?
I feel like there's a case to be made for Casey.
She's up there. She had a phenomenal week last week, but I need to see at least like one more good episode.
I feel like I'm just really enjoying Casey at Agreed. This stage in her challenge career. Mostly, yeah, because you never would have expected it to exist, this stage in her challenge career, but I feel like she is very funny.
Yeah, I will also, forgot to mention this, but recontextualize, not that she knew, but Casey falling from that height while she was pregnant filming. So, yeah, that forgot about that one.
I know. So, you know, more on that whenever that, you know, comes up. But we're going to see.
I feel like Brad is emerging a little bit, and Jasmine, like, has had more screen time, but should be even more.
Yes. Jasmine's been like a consistent presence, but that's the thing also, like, I feel like if she was a main character, I'd be worried for her chances at the
True.
moment. But like, since she's not, I'm like, oh, the quieter she is, the farther she goes.
Yeah, I'm excited for Jasmine. I really am enjoying having her
Yeah,
here.
I'm so happy she's here. I because she was supposed to be on the first season, or she was contacted or whatever, but wasn't
Something
there.
like that, yeah. Yeah,
So
whereas opposed to the star of the first season, who is just like a complete nothing on the season, is Kendall. I don't know where she's been.
me either. But I mean, the first season
Interesting.
was all about her, you know, being
Yeah.
such a social pariah, and if that's not the case now, if she's being more social, then what's the story?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just surprising because I
She
feel
doesn't
like
have
she
Mark
is
Long to
on.
feud with.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So we're gonna see that Ayana takes herself down. Casey's gonna go up instead, and Jasmine gets a great line, being like, "Someone put they put Tina up there. I'm gonna have to go buy them a drink. I appreciate that." So I mean, Jasmine's been saying like since episode one that she doesn't like, she's not the biggest Tina fan. Tina's like loud or whatever, and you know, Jasmine's like, "Yeah, that's a bit too much for me." So when Ayana goes back
Which is
inside.
ironic.
I know. When Ayana goes back inside and tells Tina that, you know, her name is up there, she's very surprised when Tina's not mad on the outside. Tina and Casey are both in the kitchen. They kind of like high five or shake hands or whatever. And Tina's like, yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's personal for her. She doesn't want to play the game that the way that she used to play and get mad at every time that, you know, something happened regarding her in the game, which is, of course, you know, we'll put a pin in that until after the selection. But yeah, so we'll see more with Tina, and then what else is happening here? This is where Steve is pretty much going to put his foot in his mouth and get himself into trouble, because he tells Melinda that he would like to go against Tech over Tyler, and the guys are not going to be very happy about that.
Yeah, there's two parts of this, like, for me, where I'm kind of like, well, he's not like in your innermost alliance. So, like, yeah, Steve is on the periphery of that. And I guess it was supposedly Tech that really brought him into this alliance more so. But like, it's not the Four Kings alliance. So, his days are numbered at some point. I don't know how many people are making the final, but like, they're always going to choose each other over Steve. So I don't blame him for being self-interested to a point. But I am, probably a little too early for him to make this move. I don't know who he should have asked for, though.
I don't know. I mean, does anyone care what he asks for? Like, no one's
Yeah,
gonna,
true.
they're not gonna give him a preference. Steve, like, no one knows who this
He
guy
should have just
is.
shut up. They would have voted in Tech anyway.
Probably. So yeah, they're not happy about that. When we get up to the selection, we're gonna see the some drama, because I don't know if it's drama, but tension for sure. Casey and Tina, you know, are still like, you know, being friendly with each other, kind of joking back and forth about how, you know, or why they shouldn't get picked or whatever. And Casey almost, you know, brings herself to tears, being like, you know, yeah, I messed up today, but 15 years ago I wouldn't have done it at all, in the first place, even getting out there. So she's like proud of herself that she's, you know, been making progress in her you know, abilities as a challenger. Tech, I know he said he was quoting somebody, but like, he was legitimately saying like he's only at the selection process so he won't get fined. I was like, that is like, I believe him. Like, he would probably prefer to like stay down. And like, I don't think it's like, I don't know if they would actually get fined if they don't go to these things. But I'm sure it's a possibility.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I feel like the Marshawn Lynch quote, like the "I'm just here so I don't get fined," I feel like that is very famous. So
I've heard it all the time. Well,
I feel like it like made its way into pop culture, so I'm a little surprised you didn't hear it at all, but something I definitely had known of. So I do believe Tech that he was very annoyed at this point.
yeah.
And I really like Tina like starting this out. I don't know how much I believe it, like 100%. She's like, "I'm just doing so great because everyone's gonna vote Casey in." It's like, did you really think that? Like, did you?
It almost feels like she did it, because as we get going here and all the votes start to come in, obviously the votes are going to land on Tech and Tina. Tina starts to look real pissed off as the votes keep coming in, and she's like, you know, this should have been Casey. Casey's the one who did not complete the challenge today. I did. What is happening here? And obviously she knows that this is all, you know, Jody's plan or whatever. But the votes just keep coming in, and it's like obviously very upsetting to her, because we're going to see when she gets back inside the house. I thought we were going to get a full-on pots and pans moment, but she drops the pots and pans after a couple seconds, just before she makes her grand announcement.
This was so funny. Just I guess language warning, but Tina tells everyone that they're a bunch of fake motherfuckers, and that she's going to blow up everyone's spot. So old Tina's back. She is ready for a fight here.
Yeah, she calls out Jody. She's like, everybody better hope that I don't come back into this house because you're all screwed. And you always love this confessional after somebody gets called out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and
oh
not.
My God.
And it's like, obviously, that's probably the better move. But like, I don't care. I don't want to hear it, Jody. Like,
oh, you're so cool, Jody. Wow, we all are such big fans.
I wish we could all be like you, Jody, of just not responding to Tina. Like, if Tina called me out, I'd be like, please keep going.
I just don't understand, like, how is Jody back on TV, let alone how did she get there in the first place? Jody is so boring. Please, I don't want her for 3 or 4 or 5. No more All-Stars, please. Well, I don't care how good she is at challenges. Like, oh, my God.
I know. I mean, we've said that about many of the current challengers on the main show these days. But, I mean, overall, like, however this goes, I'm happy that I am happy to see her again because I feel like I'm happy to see a lot of these people at least one time. But I do agree that like we don't need them all for the next one and the next one. So, but yeah, so she's not engaging Tina. She's like, if Tina wants to look stupid, that's on her. Jasmine's like, I'm too old for this shit. And I love that line because I feel like as we all get older, we're all saying that constantly, or at least I am. I know you're not getting older. Sorry.
I'm not. So can't relate.
Well, I am. My back hurts every day of my life. but yeah, so that's what's happening on that side. Well, no, there's still more here because Tina is, you know, really upset about all of this. And when she's talking to Melinda and who else is in the room there? Tyler? Yeah, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
She's like, I really hate myself like this. Like, I've worked so hard to make myself be this happier person. And, you know, being back in this house, in this environment with people coming after her like this is kind of reverting her back to this anger that, you know, she had within herself through all those challenges. And it's really not, you know, it's not great. And no green tea is going to help make her happy right now.
Yeah, that was... I don't know if that was an intentional funny moment, but great moment from Melinda offering her green tea to calm her down. Tyler's like, oh, do you want me to see you some banana bread? So I thought that was fun. I really got to see like the dynamic of them in the house, which was a good scene. But yeah, like I said, old Tina is popping back out. She is very much aware of it and doesn't like to see that happening to herself at all.
Which, you know, I again, as I was getting to earlier and I was trying to pause myself on, just overall, I get that feeling of, like, you know, not wanting to bring yourself back to a place that you feel yourself slipping back to. That, you know, that's just what her mindset is right now. And whatever it is, like, whatever that is for you in whatever circumstance, you know, if you know that you're in a good place right now and you think that you could be pulled back from a different, into a different direction, do whatever you got to do to prevent that. So that's what she's going to do. But before we get to that, just anything else on Tech and all that before we get to his elimination? I mean, he was very pissed at the selection.
Yeah, I would say from the perspective of the opposing alliance, why Tech? Why are we throwing in Tech here instead of Nehemiah or Letarian?
Probably you think he's the weakest of the bunch.
But wouldn't you want to send in the strongest against someone who's also not in your alliance? Darrell has, like, Darrell has said he's, like, cool with Nehemiah, and I don't know what his relationship is with Letarian, but, like, you have to think that, like, from, like, Darrell and Brad and Kohata and MJ's perspective, like, I would rather generally go up against Tech in elimination than Letarian or Nehemiah, so let's make them go against Steve and not Tech, like, you know?
I totally forgot Kohata was here.
Well, don't need All-Stars 3 either.
I don't know, you know, maybe we'll get more insight on the exact reason if Tech shows up. Well, if Tech gets like an interview, you know, maybe if he ends up on the podcast, we'll hear from him. But otherwise, yeah, probably not. But yeah, he's not very happy to be, you know, the one picked here. And when we get to the elimination, we're going to see it's called Switch Back, which if anybody didn't watch, there are like 6 lanes. Kind of looks like a spider. A spider has 8 legs, but imagine a spider with 6 legs. that's the description here. There's like a button on each of the legs, and, you know, 3 of the buttons in total are yours and 3 are your opponent's. You have to get all 3 lights to be on, I believe, to get the win. So, you know, you're running back and forth, turning your opponent's lights off and then turning yours on or whatever the deal was. And we're going to see Steve versus Tech in the first matchup here.
This, I think, is actually a fantastic elimination. Yeah, I am a big... I think this is just like exactly what I want to see. It is super easy to follow, but like very fun. It can go on for a very long time. It like is not
an automatic win for either person. Like, generally, if someone's on the challenge, they're going to be lasting at least a little while here. I think they said it went on for like an hour for the guys. So I think that this is a great elimination, first of all, that I would like to see again moving forward. But specifically as for Tech and Steve, again, a specifically also a great elimination. So I thought this was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed it. I don't know that it's, you know, something that we do see very often, like this kind of thing. So, you know, it's I definitely wouldn't mind seeing it, you know, again. I don't want them to like abuse it and turn it into like a halt brawl where we see it like every 5 minutes. But, you know, the way that these two ended up playing it out was definitely intense, with the battle area in the middle that they kept, you know, running into each other intentionally. And then, you know, you get the passion from Tech afterwards, because that's Tech after he gets the win here, you know, screaming in excitement, in relief that he got the win here. He obviously didn't win his only elimination last season, so this was probably, you know, a huge moment for him, and he was very, very happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tech's first elimination win, I believe. So, because I think he was on the challenge before there were eliminations. Good for Tech. I think that was exciting. Definitely the more exciting person to be on the show, I would say, as well.
Just by a bit.
Just a little bit. You know, Steve's tiny hands missed the button as he was trying to run over. So, unfortunately for him, cost him the win here. But, and I don't think this elimination was supposed to be physical. I think they were told maybe not to make it so physical, because they weren't even wearing helmets, I noticed. So, but you know what? It definitely did get physical between Tech and Steve, and I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, if this happens again, like, you got to give them helmets, because it's way more entertaining when it can get physical.
Yeah, I just don't see a reason for them not to have them. So, right. Especially, like, they love giving that first person shot of like them running into each other, which I don't even know that makes it any more interesting. But I like put them in the helmets and bring this back at some point, not necessarily like next week, but I thought it was fun.
Yep. But then we get a different setup with Melinda and Tina.
Yeah, you know. So obviously here Tina kind of gives us a little fake out too, where she like pretends she's gonna run and then just slows to a walk into the middle and just puts her hands, you know, crossed. She is not gonna compete. She is going to, quote, bow out gracefully because she doesn't like who she is becoming in this house anymore.
So I guess let me talk first. I kind of want to wrap up Melinda here. Tina's the, I guess, bigger story at the moment in this moment here. Melinda, definitely you can see like how great of a social game she's playing, that, you know, someone like Tina is willing to, I mean, obviously there was more in Tina's end of like what factored into this decision, but the fact that, like, you know, she was like, I like Melinda. I want her to go further in this game. I just feel like, you know, she's definitely, somebody in the house that I feel like is well liked and probably just playing well. So,
yeah, she has said like on the podcast, like she is spending a ton of time with, like Tyler and Janelle, and that's like, oh, now those are not relationships that we're getting to see. I wish that we were getting to see more of what was going on the women's side of the house. But yeah, I think Melinda has like good relationship with Casey, and now obviously with Tina, where she even said on the podcast, like, she thinks Tina would have probably done this for anyone. Tina says that like the moment that she saw Melinda like kiss her necklace, I think with her son's name on it, is where she decided that like she wants to be here more than I do. And I want this for her too. So I am going to bow out.
Yeah, so as far as Tina's decision goes here and the way she goes about it, I mean, you know, it's the second you see what is happening, you're like, ugh, TJ's going to rip her apart. Everybody's going to, you know, start making comments. And, like, not to say, like, as they should, like, you know, I guess as they should, because when somebody quits an elimination, it's like, you know, especially when you're not immediately aware of, like, what is happening, it's just like, oh, they're just being a quitter. So I can't be surprised or upset that TJ would come down on her. But just as I seem to be relating to a lot of challengers as they're doing things that maybe aren't recommended on the show, I feel like that's been like a theme throughout the past couple of weeks. Like, what else? I don't know. I'm like, there's a different example on tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. I get it. Like, I get where Tina's here being like, you know what? This is just not where I want to be at the moment. Like, the house, she's like, the vibe in the house is not great, which, I mean, also could be a little bit of like, you know, kind of being a quitter, as like on top of being a quitter, of just like, maybe the game isn't playing out in the way that she expected it to. And she's just like altogether just done. But I don't know.
I think that's definitely part of it. I think Tina kind of sees the writing on the wall and is going to have to probably go in a couple times. For me, I would rather Tina not quit. But if it's going to be like this is the level of commitment that she's going to give to the game in general, then like we got to see Tina back and be reintroduced to what she's up to in her life. And that was good enough for me. So mm-hmm. I am fine having Melinda here, who I am enjoying as well, and I think actively is going to be trying a lot harder. So I am ultimately fine with how this went.
Yep. So I... And like as far as like seeing Tina back, I mean, Jodi even said herself, like, I hope that we see her again. I'm like, yeah, no, me too. I don't know, you know, what is going to be super different next time than this time. Like next time somebody probably will come for her as well in the same way that somebody did this time. So it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to change.
Next time's gonna be more cutthroat. I feel like the All-Star seasons are going to, if like they keep going and going and going, it's going to become more and more of a game where people right. are like actively trying to win and will screw people over because it's a game and we've been doing these. It's less summer camp and like, oh, we're just hanging out. And like, no, there's real money on the table here.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, if Tina's back, I guess we'll have to see what's happening then. But for now, she's gone, and I am sad about it. But I can't really be too sad when somebody is voluntarily leaving. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. I can't want them to be there more than they want to be there for. In most cases, I would say.
Yep. You know, TJ asks her what happens. She explains, and you know, then she's gonna leave. Melinda and Tech both now have a life shield to bring back into the game with them. And as far as the alliance goes, we get one final confessional from Brad being like, so this is a little strange, the way that this alliance has pretty much like announced themselves. They're like celebrating when Tech gets back up there and whatnot. And Melinda too, I guess, that it's like, you know, they're being very vocal or very obvious about the fact that this is their deal. So, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, interesting. Like I said, I think that they probably could have had burned Brad's life shield also. I think the lines are pretty clearly drawn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things are not quite as hidden as they should be.
Right. And then we get a mid-season trailer, which was wild because I was like, this is... Mm-hmm. I mean, 5 episodes into a challenge season doesn't seem like a time to get a mid-season trailer. And also, I was like, how did we already get 5 episodes into this? But we're there. So
my head spun around my body when Melinda was like, I need to win this elimination because I'm so close to the final. I was like, you're close to what? Like, do you go into it another elimination later in the season and they cut that and move this up here? Because what is going on?
I know.
I was so confused when she said that.
Yeah, so I mean, if this is 10 episodes, which I guess it is because this was a mid-season trailer that we usually see mid-season, what do we have, 4 more episodes of eliminations and then 1 episode of the final, or maybe like 3 more, probably 4, but maybe it's like the same thing as this season or this week of the challenge, what the main show was, where maybe there's like an elimination at the start of episode 9 and then they start the final.
Yeah, I think if we did 4 more regular episodes, that would bring us to 8 people in the final, which seems pretty realistic. So I think that's probably actually on track.
I mean, they started last one with 10 and then, you know, they lost Yasella and Derek, like,
and it was a 2-part final, which I would rather, much rather have 4 regular episodes and a 1-part final personally.
I also would prefer that, but now that we're talking it out, I feel like we're gonna get 10.
10 is so annoying. Why are half of the people on this cast
especially
making the
final? Especially just because it's All-Stars.
Didn't 12 make it last time?
No.
I thought it was 12 made it, and then 2 got eliminated, and we were down to 10.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess you'd be right. I don't know.
Like, I guess it's an improvement from that. But, so, yeah. Yeah, no, it was 12 last time.
Oh,
so,
wow. So that makes sense why they cut them. But, okay, wow, that's a lot of people. all right, so we'll see. Let me pull up the draft situation because I don't remember what happened.
I don't think it's great for my team.
Who went home? Tina, Mel had Tina, and Steve went home. Steve was on your team.
I think I had Steve, yeah.
Yes. The elimination winners were... Melinda, who was on Mel's team, so she lost Tina, gained Melinda points, and then you lost Steve, and I gained Tech points. So there's that.
Yeah.
If these numbers are right, I think I am currently in the lead with 34. You have 30 right behind me, and then Mel is 28, so it's still very close. If this is all right,
yeah. I mean, dude, so many people will make it to the final. It's really like going to be up for grabs.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how this all plays out with more of this coming next week. I have nothing else on my end for either show. Do you?
No, I am all talked out.
Okay. Well, that's all that we have for this week. Thank you guys for listening. Anything to plug on your end?
I was on the most recent mailbag of Renap, actually talking, followed up the, they talked about Five Nights at Fally's, which I believe they talked about five episodes of Jimmy Fallon. I came on for the mailbag, so second half of the episode I will be there. Otherwise, just, you know, regular Twitter and TikTok at Brian_Scally.
Did you guys, if you did, I don't remember, go into like, how did we get from Fally to Scally? Was it just like Akiva was like, oh, this would be funny?
I think it was like an offhand joke on the week before. Yeah, basically.
Like somebody on the week before was like, oh, we should have Scally on the mailbag. And then just happened.
I think it was like Five Nights at Fally's with Scally. And then that just happened.
Oh, yeah. I guess I missed that part. Cause I was like, when he said, oh, we're going to have Brian Scally on the mailbag. I was like, he didn't even tell me this. I was like, okay.
Sounds good. I didn't know until the hour before. So
the hour before.
Yeah. Luckily I was around.
Wow. I guess that's not surprising. Well, that day. Contact yes. you now before, not that you're free.
Yeah,
that could have been super shady if I meant whatever. It the other way. Let's end this podcast. Anything else? No, nothing
all
else.
Good on my end.
Okay, time to get out of here. Follow us on social media, of course, if you are not already, for whatever reason, at Matt Liguori, at Brian_Scally. Leave us some reviews if you care to in the Dom and Colin podcast feed. It is about to be the Survivor finale week of Survivor season 41. So if for any reason you follow this feed just for us and, you know, you don't listen to the main Survivor coverage on this feed, it's a little strange, but you should, because I'm sure Dom and Colin will have their Survivor recap out very shortly. So we'll plug them, even though Colin never plugs us. We see where we stand. I'm going to get all pots and pans in here just to
We'll call him out.
Boss. Yeah. Just kidding. Love you, Colin and Dom, and everybody else for listening. Thank you guys. We will catch you next week. Take care.